Warning, Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, coming to us tonight from Florida. Right, Drew?
That's right, Adam.
All right, Drew, what are you doing over there? Someone dropped a nickel. You had to hop on a plane. What are you doing over there, buddy? What's up? Pushing the book? What's happening?
Yes,
talking to college kids? What's going on over there?
I'm talking to college kids. University of Central Florida. It was great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. When are you coming home?
Tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Well, I'll see you on Sunday, huh?
That's right, Adam.
All right, but we'll talk tonight.
Okay. On the way home, yes.
Eric Balfour.
What do we got to talk about? Whoa.
What
do we got to talk about? Something happening?
No.
Okay.
We'll chat.
All right, good.
Cool. You know, speaking of that, I hate it when people do this, like where they go, listen, Frank, don't leave without seeing me in my office. And it's like 10:15 in the morning. It's like, what are you going to cut out about 7 o'clock? Don't leave without swinging by the office. I hate that. I hate that we'll talk when we get back.
I got to talk to you later, though.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you just pulled on me?
I'll talk to you about it later. I'll talk to you about it later.
Oh, shut up, Drew. This is what women do at parties. Where you go, honey, what's the matter?
I'll tell you later.
Yeah, and
you go.
No, seriously. I mean, what's going on? What'd I say? I didn't do anything, did I? And they go, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you now.
They'll only cop to it 24 hours later. That's what I've pretty much learned is the rule.
And you go, honey, I can't enjoy the party. Finish the rest of the party, and we'll talk on the ride home. And it's like,
but I'll give you an attitude the whole evening otherwise.
That's Eric Balfour, by the way, who's in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is a remake of the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right,
That
Eric?
It is. Welcome to the revolution.
And although they didn't call one.
So you're going to start already.
Well, no, I'm trying to get my lineage right.
The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That would have been 78, 79?
Yeah, it was 70, yeah, something.
Maybe earlier, maybe
74, I think.
That early?
I think so, yeah.
Well, maybe it was one of these horror movies that had like a crazy shelf life or something, because it was around for a while, and it was when I was like in junior high and high school and stuff. It was sort of a rite of passage that at a certain point you had to see
Texas Chainsaw Massacre sort of became a euphemism for any violent crime. Remember that?
Yes.
In the 70s, like, oh, it was a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Oh, what was that?
Yeah, kid got shot with a pellet gun.
Yeah.
They can be dangerous.
I don't know who that is. I think it's David Allen Greer. All right, but here's the point. First one, original. Mid to later 70s, let's just say.
That's fair enough.
We'll get the exact date on
that. Yeah, I'll acquiesce to that.
That was around for a while. Then they didn't do a number two for a long time.
Okay, the number two and whatever happened with Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey, those don't count.
They don't count. But they still took place in like 10 years later or something, or 9 years later or something.
Ours is a remake of the original, you know, set in the early 70s.
Yes, 1974 was written right on my piece of paper. See, kids?
Oh, that's fancy.
I don't read. I don't cheat. And speaking of not reading, let me just say this, that 28 Days Later is doing a promotion. That's another horror movie. All callers who get on the air tonight will get a DVD of the horror film 28 Days Later, available on October 21st, now with three alternative endings. Plus, you'll qualify to win a room at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Las Vegas from the time you arrive until 28 Days later.
They're scared of us.
No.
That is just
living proof that Adam cannot read.
I don't.
You
read.
Say I can't act. You cannot
You're doing
read.
A 28 Days Later promotion during the Texas Chainsaw. I'm here to promote Texas Chainsaw.
I know. But I got this thing. I got to do it at the top of the thing.
I know.
Hey, jackass Drew. I was being a bad reader. You wait.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No. Seriously. Yeah.
Listen, you dingbat, if you had a sense of comedic timing, I announced that I don't read on the air just before I read badly. How dare you?
It's like third time's always funny.
That's right. Except for there will be no third time for me and Drew, because this is it, my friend. Don't bother coming back from Florida. You just stay there with all your deadbeat dads and your devil's triangles. All right. Eric, then they did a number two, and then somewhere along the line, maybe they did a number three.
But
here's the point. I'm leading to something good, which is instead of doing a crappy number four, you went back and did the original masterpiece done right.
Yes, we did.
Because the original probably had a budget of like $45,000 or something.
I think even less.
Really?
I think even less. Toby Hooper used a broken camera that he called, I think he called it the mule or the pig or something. And it was the same camera that he used forever. And Daniel Pearl, who was the original DP on the first film, came back and did ours.
And and the thing is the first one, all it was really, they had an old shack, a guy with a leather pillowcase on his head, and a van.
Yeah.
That was about it.
And that's kind of where Michael Bay came in on this one. Michael Bay produced this film with his two partners, Brad Fuller and Andrew Forum, who were amazing, by the way, and I want to say that to all of the world. Brad Fuller and Andrew Forum rock. But the biggest difference between ours and that one is that there's real characters in this one, and you kind of get to know them and you get to care about them before they, you know, start getting chopped up.
Well, when you do a remake, how true or how close to the script? I mean, do you take the original script and just start scribbling things out, writing stuff in, or how different is it, or do you know?
I think the term that we've come up for it that actually works is more of an update of the original.
All right.
You know, because there's a lot of things that we wanted to keep true to that we really liked about the original, but we wanted to make it our own. We didn't want to do that shot for shot, you know, crappy Psycho remake.
Who's Leatherface?
Leatherface
big
is played,
stunt man?
He's played by this psychotic gentleman named Andrew Bernarski. You'd know him from all the football movies. He's always the crazy big-jawed white guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's nuts.
Yeah, the guy with the roid rage who's destroying the locker room.
That's the one. He's the one.
I know. Some about that just, there's something great about, the two good things about, well, there's three good things about chainsaws in terms of weapons. A, they got the word chain and saw right in the title.
Right, there's no confusion.
Right. This is, to me, like Tiger Shark. Hey, man, it's got tiger and shark and bull shark. Stay away from the animal. Yeah. There's a name bull and shark in it. But it's got the word chainsaw right in the title. It smokes because they run off that two-stroke, and they make a crazy sound. So there's just that smoke blowing around.
And it has that rattlesnake effect, you know, where they warn you. There's that first and that initial vroom, vroom, vroom,
right,
and then, you know, get them going.
But let me ask this. They say, like, based on a true event or something. I mean, it's not quite worded. It's a little ambiguous. It's not based on a true story, but it's sort of based on some true events, maybe. Like, I'm not sure what it is, but is the true event the first one?
It was based on some rumors that I think someone heard. No, it was based on a guy named Ed Gein, who was real, who was actually from Wisconsin, though.
Right.
And he committed a lot of murders and did actually make...
Making a lot of lampshades and things.
Lampshades and, you know, armchairs made out of actual arms. Don't get any ideas, kids.
But we can't judge. These are cultural things.
Well, some people... You know, I don't want to use the word art.
Right.
But kind of.
Yeah, hey, if Mapplethorpe can take a whiz on Jesus, why can't this guy make himself a literal armchair?
I love Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Where are we, Drew?
This is Annie, 22.
Annie.
Yeah, hi. Annie. I just wanted to ask about female ejaculation. And if it's
fascinating.
Real and, like, are there any side effects or, like, changes to the urethra or anything?
Only if you get into somewhere.
Have you heard of something?
No. I've just been looking it up online and haven't really come to a definitive
Can you
conclusion.
Do it?
I mean,
no, I haven't done it.
Are you trying to decide if it's ejaculation or incontinence? Is that what you're trying to figure out?
Exactly.
Yeah, there is debate about it, and it's pretty clearly both, frankly. Some women have incontinence, and some women have ejaculate. And it's an easy thing to test for. If you're someone who does it, you know, take some asparagus or vitamins, and you know it's urine if it's urine.
Yeah, just have a
but
little
B. But it isn't, and exactly which glands are discharging is a little unclear, whether it's Bartholin's or Skene's, but there's some combination of these glands in some
women.
Is your
boyfriend in the room with you while you're getting all this lovely information?
No.
Oh, good.
I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do, Drew? I'm going to market a test kit because we get this question every other night. People don't know what's coming out of them. I'd like to make some sort of alkaline swatch or something where you could just rub it on the...
Like the $100 bill marker?
Yes.
In the markets?
Yeah, Korean guy holding it up to the light, shaking his head, keeping an eye on you and the Slim Jim simultaneously. Yeah,
Annie, what color is it? Just out of curiosity.
It's clear.
Oh, okay.
Well, I haven't ever done it, but I was just reading about it.
No.
This is pure fascination for you.
We interviewed a bunch of women one night that had this, that did this, and it was funny. Some of them said it was only during extremely intense orgasm. Some said it was, no, just kind of all the time. Some temps said, no, it just happened sort of randomly. So it's different for different women.
All right, but look, Annie it doesn't have it, and if she was going to have it, she probably would have had it by now, and now she hung up. All right, Drew, who we got next?
Got Ashley.
Drew, how come I don't do the board from out here? I should just do it from out here.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
Next break.
All right, buddy boy. How old's Hi. Ashley?
Ashley's 19.
Hey, Ashley. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Oh, good. This is great. I'm so glad I'm on. Am I supposed to talk?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
That's not my problem.
Yeah, it's
okay,
the best
one to talk. Actually, I have a lot of problems, but I'll start with the biggest one. I am a small person, and I have big boobs. And
yeah.
I hate
Life's
them.
Rough.
Yeah, you hate them?
I hate them. Like, if I could make them go away, I would, and I've tried, like...
You can I'm, get a
I've
breast reduction.
I tried to duct tape them once, and that, like, tore my skin, and I had these really weird, unexplainable bruises.
Just like, find a good plastic like, surgeon and get a reduction.
Well, wait a second. What do you mean you tried to duct tape them? You tried to strap them down?
Yeah. But, yeah.
What size are you? What size are you? What size
are the
breasts?
Haven't you ever heard of an ace bandage?
I'm, like, 5'4", and I have, like, 34 double D breasts.
And and you don't weigh too much?
No.
That is a great combination.
No, it's not. It's not. It's like, I just don't like, I don't know. I just want to be like a normal girl.
Do you have
Ashley,
a boyfriend?
Do you have an eating disorder?
Oh, Ashley? What? I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Do you have an eating disorder?
Yeah. No, I'm bulimic.
Must say that
I
on
mean,
the
it's
screen.
It's like he's
here.
Psychic.
Gotta say it on the screen.
Oh. It's on the screen.
It must. So, listen, how about you address your eating disorder and then we focus on your boobs? And when it,
no,
I'm
going to
focus
says,
on your boobs look, when I close my eyes. Yes.
Adam, it's yes. your bubes.
Oh, your bubes.
Okay.
Let's say we focus on the bubes after we take care of the eating disorder.
Okay.
How much do you weigh right now?
What do I weigh right now?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, right now.
130.
130, 5'4". All right. Mm-hmm. Big cans. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
What's your eating disorder?
I'm bulimic.
Okay. What's that mean? Are you vomiting when you're bulimic? Do you have to vomit when you're bulimic?
I don't really I don't really vomit to lose weight. I don't know. It's kind of it just makes me feel better. It goes in spells. Like all summer, I didn't have any problems. Like last year, I vomited a lot because I was just really stressed out. And
but
I don't
you
know.
Do have, you do. Ashley have kind of a body image disorder, though, right?
Yeah, and then during the summer, I was fine, and then it started back up again, and it's just really, it's not something I want to encourage, because I know it's bad for you, like...
Have you sought any counseling for it?
No, I just don't, like, it's not something that, it's like opening up a really big box, because...
It is a big box, but it's a really important one that you should really handle, because it's not something you want to carry around with your whole life.
Bulimia is something people die from.
I know.
All right. So why don't you do that and then call us back when you get that under control and we'll focus on the bubes.
Really, really, you really should. You should, you know, I've seen people, you know, come very close to death and it's not a joke. You should really handle it.
It's not like, it's so easy for you to say that tell your parents or tell someone.
If you find whoever you can, you sound like a very sweet girl, you know, you should have a long, wonderful life ahead of you. Don't go down like this.
And you don't have to necessarily tell your parents.
Yeah, there's
You're
lots
19.
Of people you can talk to.
There's all sorts of groups and organizations and things like that. You don't need
Where are you?
I'm shady and I'm bulimic and I hate my boobs. Yeah.
Well,
keep coming back. It works if you work it.
My name's Adam. I'm not bulimic and I love Katie's boobs.
Yeah, what city are you in?
Okay, no, but you didn't answer my question. There's not any way other than surgery to get rid of them?
No. Yeah, you can. Well, no, if she
don't
works out.
Don't encourage her. Or no, she loses a ton of weight.
If you work out, though, if you do some weight training on your upper body, but you can't work out if you're not eating healthy, but if you do some weight training on your upper body, you will lose some fatty tissue.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about some flies, baby doll? All right, well, good times.
All right.
I love those big cans. I can't help it.
Here's Kelly.
I don't
think
there's anything wrong with that.
25.
Who?
Kelly.
All right.
Kelly.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys.
We are receiving you.
What's up?
Well, I got a question for you guys. A good buddy of mine, we've been having sex for about a year and a half or so, and it's...
You're gay. Drew, please. We know that. Let him finish.
Okay. I've been having sex with this buddy, and, like, I got to keep it completely a secret from the rest of our friends and stuff. Nobody knows what's going on.
You're gay.
Drew, we heard you. Now let him finish.
Yeah, I've established that I'm gay. I'm trying to wonder about this guy, though. I mean, he says
he's very gay.
He may be gay as well.
If he's having sex with you, he's gay. I think that's a pretty good, you know, educated guess.
He's gay.
Well, Drew. Yeah, that would seem common sense, but he, you know, seems really sincere and can't explain why he's doing it. He really likes girls, and
he doesn't really like girls. He's in denial. It's very, very simple. He's in denial, and he's gay, or, and he likes, you know, he likes
maybe
your manhood.
Maybe he's bi or something.
Yeah, he might.
I don't believe that very many men are bi. I think if you like, you know, the man schlong, then you're gay. That's pretty
much
all.
But there are guys.
Sexuality seems to be like just a load of crap in my book. Everyone I've met, it's kind of like their transition phase. Like they don't want to come out and say that they don't like girls.
That's often the case. With men, though, when they've been sexually abused, they get long periods of confusion about their sexual orientation. And so it really isn't that he's got a mature bisexual orientation. He's just confused.
Yeah. So it's not really possible then for a heterosexual guy just to, for lack of other options, to hook up with a guy rather than...
No. Absolutely not. 100% no.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
not.
In prison, maybe if the plane goes down and you guys are in the desert for a little too long.
Only if you know you're going to be there more than, like, let's say 10 or 15 years. And then even I would be questionable.
I thought you were going to say days. Years. That's right, buddy. Hell yeah. All right, but listen, Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you doing with this guy,
is the sex
way?
That good that you can't just go find the guy who's secure in his sexuality?
No, I have no problem meeting the other guys. The problem is I have really strong feelings for this guy.
Okay.
And, I mean, he's one of my best friends, and I don't know what to do. I mean,
well, you have to support him and just, you know, help him, you know, figure his way out through this.
All right, hold on. Quiet, Kelly, shut up. What are you guys doing? Crew, shut up. What? Just shut up. Why, you think it's bogus?
Yeah.
You getting bogus? I kind of get bogus, too.
Well,
I just don't know what to do. I always think bogus.
Don't know what to do, and I've never talked to a gay man who called his partner my good buddy. Good buddy.
Yeah, except for Alan Hale.
Is it possible you are the heterosexual male who's not sure about
his
gayness?
That was little buddy, Adam.
Oh,
little
that's
buddy.
Right.
No,
sorry.
No, I have no problems accepting that I'm gay.
Okay, all right.
I guess, I mean, what I'm getting at, though, is
I'm a homosexual.
I don't want to ruin our friendship. You know, and I don't know if I should quit having sex with him or if I should, like, just wait until he's, you know, secure with himself. So,
all right.
This doesn't
make any sense.
Yeah.
Kelly, bogus. You're not having this experience.
I swear to God, this is legit.
All right. Well, let me ask you, what do you guys do sexually?
We've done pretty much everything.
What does that mean?
You blow each other? What's a normal night for you guys?
Usually oral sex.
Yeah. All right.
But
I don't know why the gays don't. We make fun of the anal sex so much, but they don't really do it.
Well, there's some. You know, I think it's just a matter of, you know, pain threshold.
Yeah.
You know, I think,
oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean,
but
I could imagine.
As long as what Kelly's telling these stories, you keep your hands above the table.
That's
I'm fine.
All right. So, look.
What about strikes you as so odd, you guys think this is bogus? I mean, is this so far out there? I mean,
no,
you got me hook, line, and sinker if it makes you feel any better.
You're not doing anything to the friendship. The friendship is perfectly intact right now. This guy's happy just having sex with you. You're having feelings for him, but you want to keep him as a friend. You don't know that you want to be involved with him, so don't. It's sort of no question. That's why we think it's bogus. It's like you're setting yourself up with
him. That's the thing. I just
but
you are. You are involved.
Yeah,
with him,
and you said you don't want to be involved
putting his penis in your mouth is
out.
A pretty heavy involvement.
I call it a commitment. All right. Kelly. And by the way, Kelly was 25.
Yeah.
Kelly, your compass should not be spinning this fast at 25. I mean, you should have been through a few relationships, be a little more grounded, have a little better feel for the lay of the land, you know. And if you want to lay it down with this guy and say, look, I'm into you, it's either boyfriend or girlfriend or forget it, boyfriend sorry, but one of you's got to play the chick, you can do it. But I always get the feeling that when people don't want to ask a question, it's because they're scared of the answer.
Two wrongs don't make a right, but three left-hand turns do.
That's right. Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get
Thanks,
rid of Kelly.
Kelly,
please.
Sure enough, this is David 18.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, you guys don't mind if I ask you guys two questions, right?
Hurry.
No. You sure? Second one's pretty short.
No.
All right. My question is, I had sex with this girl, and she had genital herpes.
and I wore protection and everything, and I made sure, you know, she didn't have any outbreaks. She never had one with me. And my question is, if she gave me oral sex, is it possible that she could have gave it to me by having oral sex?
If she had it in her mouth.
If she had it in her mouth.
She didn't.
Okay.
Then no.
Well, then she can't do it.
But if you're not sure, go get tested. Make sure, because you don't want to give it to somebody else.
All right.
Well, if you haven't had an outbreak, there's nothing to test.
Okay.
So, have you had an outbreak?
No, nothing.
Now, having said that, people will say, oh, there's a blood test. The blood test I have found to be terribly inaccurate. Oh, if you have an outbreak, you can get a culture, and that's it. If you don't have an outbreak, you have no symptoms, then there's really nothing to test.
You sure I can't ask the second question? It's really
go.
No.
Right, come on, man. It's something I've been wanting to ask because, you know, I do it a lot.
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
No.
Real quick.
No.
Come on.
No.
No.
I have a heart. Really quick.
No.
Simple. Come on.
No.
It's a yes or no.
No.
Yes.
No.
Ask
come on,
it.
Man.
No. No.
Why not?
Maybe.
Maybe.
No.
All right.
Maybe.
No.
Come on. It's a yes or no. Come on. I mean, I'm serious.
Hurry.
I ask this question.
No.
All right. I take Tylenol PM every night, and I wonder what are the negative effects if I keep doing that. I've been taking it for a while because I have trouble falling asleep.
A therapeutic dose will not hurt you at all. Maybe create a little urinary retention, let some trouble.
I mean, I take it's Tylenol PM. And I mean,
You take one every night?
No, it's two. You're supposed to take two.
That's fine. Right. No problem. Right. No problem.
So I could be taking it every night.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. As long as you're not alcoholic.
Okay.
But you don't want to booze with the Tylenol. Get rid of him.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Get rid of him. Drew, can you put people on hold or you just
Anderson,
hang up on him?
Anderson, please help out with the hold here. Thank you.
Jesus Christ. We never talked to Anderson about that, but I'm going to... Drew, why are you taking the calls? I'll
you're
get the calls
do it. I'm
over here.
Sign
I can put them on hold.
I'm signing up right now.
Yeah, you're a mess tonight, buddy.
No, I'm not.
What time is it over there in Florida? It's like 3.5 hours difference, right?
Yeah, it's 1:20. You were in this studio. You left quite an impression, in fact.
I did?
Yeah. You probably smoked. There are laws against smoking indoors here in Florida, and you exposed a lot of people to secondhand smoke in the studio here. And
I never smoked in a studio in my life.
Wait, apparently. We can be smoking right now?
What are you talking about? No. I didn't smoke in any studio.
When you were with the Dodgers.
When I was with the Dodgers.
In Florida.
You mean when I went out to Vero Beach?
Yeah.
Oh, I had to do that godforsaken. Oh, my God.
You came on over to 105.9 O-Rock, remember?
Oh. You know, we did a thing when we were doing the Man Show like a year and a half ago where me and Jimmy went out to train with, spring training with the Dodgers.
Right.
And we, flew in, early, Saturday morning, went and trained with the Dodgers all day, went back to the hotel, and then I had to do the radio from 1 to 3. And the radio station was a good hour away from the hotel, and then we're all meeting down in the lobby at 5:30 to go to the swamp to shoot another bit with an airboat. I just remember wanting to kill myself getting back about 4:15, knowing that we had to meet everyone in the lobby in an hour to head down to the swamp. To get on an airboat with a bunch of toothless guys who used ropes to hold their pants up. All right. Drew.
Yeah.
Drew's out there in Florida, where I used to be. Eric Balfour is our guest tonight. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the name of the new movie. That's coming out this Friday. And again,
tomorrow
this
night.
Is a remake of a classic.
It is.
A lot of kids. And let me say this, too. A lot of people, they go and they see these things, and they are classics, but at, $20,000 for a budget and not a very professional lighting crew, they don't stand the test of time too well. But this is the classic feel, updated.
Yeah, this is, it's a great ride. It's terrifying.
This is like a classic muscle car from the 60s with air conditioning and a CD
this
player.
This is when Denzel Washington put, electric windows in the what was it, a Monte Carlo?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Training Day. Drew, you saw that. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in Florida.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I clarified a couple things.
Yeah.
I clarified some stuff, Adam.
All right. Hey,
apparently,
hold
you didn't smoke.
Right.
No. All right.
Drew,
right,
hold on a second, buddy. Whenever we come back from the commercial, I got to do the thing where I say the guest is and do all that right. Kind of stuff, yeah?
All right.
Oh, okay.
No, Eric doesn't care, but I care. Because okay. I have my pride. Eric Balfour is here tonight. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, name of the new movie, and it is coming out this Friday.
Yeah. I love that I'm now Eric Balfour from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not just Eric Balfour from 6 Feet Under. It's getting very exciting.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, yeah, and we did. You were on here talking about six. We had you on from 6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
It must have been a year ago.
All right. Go ahead, Drew.
I'm just saying, I clarified things here. It turns out you're right. You didn't smoke in the studio. You smoked in the bathroom here. In the bathroom.
I was strung out, Drew. It was 2 a.m. I'd been up 24 hours. I had to blow a butt.
A class act.
Oh, who cares?
I'll teach you, don't you.
All right. And by the way, you're not going to convince me that something people used to do on airplanes and on talk shows 15 years ago is all of a sudden the worst thing you can do in society. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was that little children's book, Eloise, where she would run around New York City drinking Johnny Walker Blacks and smoking cigarettes in bars at like 7 years old?
Really?
Yeah, it was like a 50s children's book, and this little 7-year-old kid would like run around the city, going into bars, drinking Johnny Walker Blacks, smoking cigarettes.
Turning tricks. Making a buck.
But, you know, she was like a Rockefeller, so it was okay.
That's it. All the Eloise books are out of my house.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way, Drew. Look at all the stuff that people aren't allowed to do now as opposed to what they were allowed to do, let's say, 40 or 50 years ago. Do you think people are better now for it? We got a bunch of better people running around out there? Or does everyone just have more locks on their doors and more car alarms?
Point taken.
Maybe we should give people just a little bit of freedom. Because, you know,
was Michael Moore right about Canada? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I don't. What was his thing about Canada?
Basically, they're superior and kinder and sweeter and better than us.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of pussies in this country that seem to love and glorify every other country except for the one they live in, yet they'll never move.
Canada's like a loft apartment over a really good party.
I don't understand why they won't just move if they love it so much. Debbie?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
I want to know if you guys think that I have a dysfunctional sexual relationship with my husband.
Absolutely.
Just judging by her voice.
Well, let's just go,
Well, this is the deal. We've been together, and pretty much from the onset, how do I put this? He gets off, like, when we talk about me having sex with other men. And now it's gotten to the point where that's the only way he can get off.
Do you have to make up the stories? Do you make up the stories, or do they have to be real?
Well, there's a fine line between that, because when it first started, it was after he knew, it was before we were married, and we were engaged, and I had told him that I wanted to break up because I met this guy, and blah, blah, blah. Well, long story short, we ended up still being together. You know, I kicked out the other dude, and we were together. But then he would ask me about it. Oh, is he this good? And oh, was he like this? And was he like that?
Well, how old is he?
He's 2 years older than I am.
Your husband?
Yeah.
And so it kind of made me uncomfortable at first. But then, like, I don't know how it started. We were probably drunk one night or something and drinking. I don't know. Or maybe I was pissed. And I was like, yeah. And I totally gave in and totally, like, told him the whole thing and stuff. And he just, like, skyrocket. He thought that was so cool. You know what I mean? You could just tell it was just really intense. Well, that was cool for a while and everything, and then I don't feel comfortable with it now. So, you know, we kind of lay off that old thing.
All right, quiet down.
The short answer is yes, you have a dysfunctional sexual relationship.
Right.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Guys, and I don't know how old are you, Eric?
26.
26. You're just getting out of that trouble zone. Guys have testosterone. They have those. It's like that impulse where you show up at your girlfriend's house, you start flipping through her yearbook, you see some guy with a heart written around his head, you want to know if she went to the prom with him, what she did with him.
Yes.
You have all this energy, and there's a part of you, part of it is a sort of territorial aggressive energy, and the other part is a sort of twisted sexual energy too. It's a little easy. Eric's nodding feverishly, by the way. Yeah. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Here's all I'm saying. The part about you being sort of angry at or disgusted with or ashamed of when you're in your early 20s of whoever you're with can easily spin into some kind of weird sexual energy as well.
Well put.
Thank you.
And the reason that happens...
And he's living this. Yes,
yeah,
go ahead.
And the reason that happens is disavowed aspects of yourself, parts of yourself that you're ashamed of, you can connect with through having shaming experiences in your sexuality with your partner. And thankfully, though, the good news is...
Like, that's for him or is that for me?
Yeah. For him.
For him. And I mean, thankfully,
it means there's things that he's done that he is not dealing with that he projects onto these other
things. It may not even be things he's done. It's just things he feels about himself that he's able to sort of connect with the things that he's not easily able to integrate into
because
himself.
Because he's very passive aggressive as well in like the whole thing. Because he doesn't want to go out, blah, blah, blah. So he'll be like, go out with my friends or go out and do whatever. And so, hey, that coupled with everything else. So it's like, okay,
thankfully,
fine, whatever.
As men grow older, the testosterone levels fall. All this is washed out of them. They just wait to die.
What happens if it doesn't?
Oh, it does.
Is your marriage? Do you guys have a happy marriage otherwise?
Well, no, because now it's bleeding over. You know what I mean? Okay. Because now I'm like really, I have a little patience for him. Everything gets on my nerves. Everything kind of boils down to that whole sexual thing.
Well, but basically what that comes down to is that he's doing something that is hurting you and upsetting you. And so every time something else happens, it reverts back to that original thing.
Mm-hmm.
So constantly, everything gets added on top of that.
Exactly.
So until you deal
compound.
With all of those issues individually, every little thing he does that normally you may just be able to go, oh, no big deal. That's just some, BS thing that he does.
But because he's so passive, we can't talk about it. We can't,
Quiet. Do you have any kids?
Yeah. Do you want to know the truth? Because when I called
Hold on a second. I'm not sure if I'm ready for the truth.
Was that not the truth?
Well, listen, here's my thinking. It's Thursday, right? This is the last day we're on this week, right? We can just talk about Chainsaw Massacre. I can give another plug to 28 Days. I'll tell a couple of stories about smoking in a bathroom. We're done. We go home.
This is what scares me. She's the one that's probably going to win the 28-day contest. 28-day later.
No.
Yeah, she and her husband at the Hard Rock Atlas.
Really, guys, I'm really sorry. It's not a big thing. It's just when I called the first time, I tried to tell your producer, whoever it was, but he asked how old I was, and he said that I was too old. He wouldn't put me on the thing. The second time I called, I told him that I was 23. This is my problem. They're like, oh, sure, I'll put you through. But we're in our 30s. And we're still dealing with this. And it's like, I have two grown kids, and I'm getting...
Liar, whore, and you know it.
I know.
You're in your
elder
30s.
Kids?
Yeah.
What do you mean you have adult kids?
Well, no, we don't have adult kids. We have old... I mean, I have kids. I have a 15-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Oh, wait.
And I'm just saying that we're to this point that I'm sick of this. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, when can we get
all right, wait a second. How old is your husband then, in not in love line years, but in real years?
I think he's 37.
Okay, he should be joining me in my waiting to die, along with Dr. Drew, and soon to be joined by Eric over here.
But Adam,
he should
be
slowing down.
I still have a few good years.
Adam, you know how we kind of read our instincts on these things? I get some, at 37, that's weird.
Yeah.
And that means he's doing some other stuff, maybe with other women or something. There's something weird going on with him sexually.
Well, that was what I was saying. Is that he's got things that he's doing that are he's projecting onto you. Because, it's like when you ask a girlfriend if she's cheating on you, it's usually because you have.
And, okay. Right. And this what you're calling passivity is not passivity at all. It's aggression, and it's closed. He's closed off. He doesn't talk to you. He's shut down. That's passive.
You have kids. You need some counseling.
Yeah.
And let me say this, all you morons out there. You haven't figured out life well in your 30s. Don't you guys want to get just a little bit better every day, or do you want to be the same retard you were when you were 19 in junior college?
Yeah, I don't want you to feel bad, hon, but I had life figured out at like 12 or 13.
Her husband's going to join me down here
maybe
in Florida.
Nine.
Maybe right?
Nine. Yeah. All right. This is everyone discuss me. Thank you. All right, where are we? And by the way, and let me say this. We, Dr. Drew and myself, have never had any problem with anyone's age on this show. There are other people who run this show who think that young people need to be calling the show, and if someone over 25 calls the show, it's like Logan's Run. We got to kill him. We never know who the hell's calling. We don't set any of these retarded precedents. We always just say we just want real callers that are interesting. And by the way, if anyone's listening who does that retarded stuff, I'm glad people talk about it on the air so you guys look like idiots and liars. Trying to get people to lie. This happens all the time on this crappy show. We know nothing of it. I don't care how old you are. You want to call this show, you got a problem, I'm fine with it. I can't stand, and I'm not going to pretend I'm some 14-year-old who just got off the Inland Invasion tour. I'm an adult, for Christ's sake. I like to pee in the sink. I'm an adult, you understand?
I'm not an adult now.
That's right.
And crap in the shower.
Well, I did that once. Big deal, Drew.
Did it all go down the drain eventually?
I got it to go. That's right.
If you just keep the water really hot, it melts pretty quick.
No, yeah, he didn't do
like,
that.
It was like stomping grapes. But let me tell you the problem with the hot water. It creates steam. That can be a problem. Bits of corn flying around.
Yeah,
in
but
there.
If you're by yourself, you know, everybody kind of likes their own brand.
Yeah, you
now
do.
Now you have to smash it with your toes down a drain.
Yeah. I hate to admit it, but Drew's right. All right, quick call here. Andrew?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yeah. I had a question. I wanted to upgrade my car, just give it a little more oomph, so to speak. Like the torque is just not cutting it for me. I want it to be a little faster. What's the most efficient way I can do that?
What do you got? You got a four-cylinder?
I have a six.
Oh, a six?
Yeah.
V6?
Yes.
All right. You should get a little more torque out of the V configuration.
How do I do that?
You don't want to spend a bunch of money.
No, not really.
Just get a chip. Cost a few $100. Yeah.
And reprogram how would I have computer. That installed? Just like a mechanic?
Yeah. They just put it in. I don't know. What year's your car?
It's new.
Oh, they just download it now. It's not even a chip. This is a computer program.
Is that just the one that takes off the limiter on the
It changes, like, the advance and stuff and screws around with the cam timing and the air intake and the fuel mixture. And you can do that. You can get a bigger throttle body. You can start changing the exhaust. But all this stuff starts costing more and more.
So it's only about $200, you said?
Yeah, it's probably a couple $100.
What
maybe
the hell
a
is this
more.
Show called? I thought it was Love Lines.
Yeah, we love cars.
Fair enough.
Boring bit. Get the chip, and if you want to keep going, get like a bigger throttle body or something like that.
All right, great, thanks.
All right, hey, good times. All right, I don't know. I'm tired of talking to screwed up teenagers or screwed up 20-something year olds who are actually 30-something. I like to talk about cars every once in a while.
That's okay. I
like to take a home improvement question.
Do you ever feel like? I mean, how many years have you guys been doing this show?
I've been doing it 9, and Drew's been doing it 20.
My goodness, are there less of them now? Have you had a positive effect on the whole of society? Not at all.
Seems to be more. It seems to be more effed up. Yes, Drew?
Yeah, it's like herding cats. Different problems emerge.
Right. Drew, what happened to Drew herding cats?
You know what I mean?
The virus mutated somehow.
Yeah. You take the pussies. You move them around.
You know, a couple of students from University of Central Florida have joined me. They brought me up here to the studio. You guys have any home improvement questions?
Yep.
No.
Okay. Not really.
Not that we know of.
All right. Sure, we'll be right back. They live in dorms, you idiot. What do you think?
I have a house there. No, this guy's a house.
What?
He's a real estate appraiser.
We're seeing.
Isn't he renting the house though?
No, I actually bought it and fixed it up. Drew was asking me a couple questions about fixing up houses earlier.
Son of a bitch.
How old are you?
You go to school and you own a house?
He's a real estate appraiser.
Yeah, but he's a student.
I know. It's crazy.
It's a good market. Right. The interest rates are low right now.
Okay, listen. You think of a good home improvement question for me. I'll tackle it when we come back,
all right? Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
All right, Eric Balfour is here tonight from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Opens tomorrow night. Go see it.
Coming out Friday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Florida. Eric Balfour is our guest tonight. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That is on Friday, tomorrow, almost tomorrow. Cult classic, everybody. This time done right.
This is very, very well done. It's the greatest horror movie of our generation.
I would say Texas Chainsaw Massacre is on a very short list of the biggest and best horror movies of this century, and maybe ones before it. Yes, Drew?
Yes. I'm going home to watch it tonight, the original. I'm very excited.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Nice. Let me say this, too, because I have to get this second plug in here. Sorry. 28 days later, all callers who get on the air tonight will get a DVD of the horror film 28 Days Later. So you call in the show, and you get it, and then we pick out that... pick someone's name, and they go to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, and you get to stay there for 28 days. Yes,
they have to be over 18, and
that's
the
right.
room can be used by anyone of their choice. They have one plane ticket to get there.
Right. They don't have to stay there themselves for 28 days. They can stay there for 2 days and then let everyone else they know stay there.
And at least
you're
part of it,
open the door, there's going to be an avalanche of semen. Do you understand? That's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing you open the door, and like, you know, in the sitcoms when they open the closet door and they're buried by the sporting goods.
And they get
goods.
Flooded down the stairs.
That was semen. That's what
and
I said.
And then a bowling ball at the end. Plus a bowling ball at the end hits you in the head.
That's right.
Right. And everything falls out of the top of the closet on top
mm-hmm.
of it.
All right,
but Adam, aren't you going to chain a stripper to the radiator in this room?
I'm planning on rigging this contest so I can win. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go across the street to Club Paradise. I'm going to pick me up a low-rent hooker, and I'm going to bring her in there. I'm going to chain her to the radiator. I think they have radiators there at the Hard Rock.
As sort of an homage to, like, Natural Born Killers or something?
That's right, and I'm going to keep her there for 28 days. That's my plan.
Duct tape her eyes closed.
Yeah.
Duct tape her eyes closed.
Yeah, and then I'll peel them off, and I'll go, "Don't look at me!" And I'll put them back on again. And then she has to listen while I spank it to Spectrovision.
You know you're going to get letters about this when some kid finally goes out and does it. He's going to be like, Drew and Eric Balfour and Adam Carolla told me to duct tape her eyes closed.
Yeah, I'll just tell him Drew should have known better as a doctor. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
You were going to say something, or are we cool?
Well, did you want to have these guys ask you a home improvement question?
Well, if they got a quick one, sure.
Ahead,
but
Nick.
If they don't have one, they don't have one.
All right, I have a smaller house. It's not that big.
Oh, yeah, I live in a castle, buddy.
But it's about 1,300 square feet, and we put the AC on about 76, and our electric bill is about $200 a month when it's at that winter time when we open up the house in the winter down here. Yeah. The bill's only like $50.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way I can improve my electric bill, AC?
Upgrade your thermostat so it's reading correctly.
Well, how about you know what works good? You get a ceiling fan. Put in a couple of ceiling fans. You just kick the ceiling fan on in the room that you're in, and it does you pretty good. Yeah. Like, you know, you got to think about, and this is why I want to get my, heated sofa off the ground, which is why turn the AC on and cool that 1,300 square foot palace you live in when you could just turn the ceiling fan on in the room that your ass is in front of the TV set for hours upon hours upon hours. Like, you're not going anywhere.
Radiation.
You're not hitting every room.
It's
you're
a little
just
hot down
it
here
on
in
the
Florida,
sofa.
Though.
All right, but do you have a ceiling fan?
Sure.
You do?
Yeah, they run too, but it's still.
You have
still,
one in your you have one
AC.
In your bedroom and you have one in your den.
There's
okay,
no
listen,
dens in 1,300 square foot houses.
Here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. You got a flat roof over there, right?
No, it's pitched.
You have an attic in there?
A small one.
Yeah, okay, get up there. Put up a radiant barrier.
Looks like
tin foil, and you whack it on with a stapler to the inside of the rafters, the roof rafters. Not the joists, the rafters, the roof rafters. Called radiant barrier. Cuts the heat down quite a bit.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks.
Everyone should do that. You guys would be amazed. If you got a roof that's got a pitch on it, and you just go up in your attic and you see those open roof rafters, those open bays, heat just comes pouring through that. You put this, it's called a radiant barrier. It's not an insulation. It's just thin. It's like cardboard, but it looks like aluminum. Yeah, it reflects it back. You just get up there, cut it, put it on with a stapler.
Nice.
All right, radiant barrier. Here we go, Drew.
All right, good times.
All right. Kid's a wise ass. I don't trust that kid. I got a ceiling fan. He can shoot your head.
They thought I did a good job tonight, right, guys?
Drew did awesome tonight.
Please.
It was a great event.
To say that.
Whatever.
I know.
It's awesome, man.
All right, Drew, hot chicks in Florida, right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
She was only missing a couple of brackets from her braces.
That means his wife is listening. That's when Drew grunts. Mm. Drew, you have any sex with any nurses back in the day? Mm. Drew, a lot of hot chicks on the road, huh? Mm. Here comes Frankenstein all of a sudden. Mm, fire. Mm. All right, go ahead, buddy. Okay. Who are we talking to? Oh, I'm picking the calls.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Some guy's putting in French doors. Jason?
Yeah. How you doing?
You're 26. You're putting in French doors, huh?
Yeah, putting French doors in the bedroom. They're 6 foot total width.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what size header to put in, a 4x6 or a 4x8.
Is it one-story building?
Two-story.
Two-story, go with a 4x8. It's a bearing wall, yes, exterior wall.
Yep.
Which way the ceiling joists running? Are they resting on that wall?
They are.
They're running that direction?
Yep.
Couldn't hurt to step up to a 4x8.
Okay.
All right, what do you got on the outside of the house? Stucco?
Nope, lap siding.
All right, that's easy to deal with. You're going to drop it in yourself?
Yep.
All right. Just get yourself some shims and make sure everything's plumb and level, and then you just screw it off and use the shims and make sure the doors are swung right before you put the casing on, all right? Because you can move that jam around. Boring jam feels right. You understand?
Yep, I got it.
All right, so King studs and the headers and the trimmers
and
all that
good
stuff. Can
Home Depot answer some of these questions?
Nah, they don't have the time. They're not interested. They don't love the kids like I do.
So I mean, it's just amazing. You waited six, you know, how many hours to ask you about a header?
Only 4 minutes.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I prioritize all the home improvement calls.
Oh, okay.
We have people that are have miscarried and are bleeding that are calling on a cell phone. They've been on hold for 126 minutes.
We'll get to them later.
The call for Eric's been on for hold.
First. All right. Well, we'll get back to the normal format. Drew over there in Florida, me and Eric Balfour out here from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and we'll be right back after that. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is in Florida tonight. Eric Balfour is our guest tonight. He is from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is coming out tomorrow, Friday.
Yes.
It's a remake of the original. It's not part four or anything like that. And we have a question or two for Eric. So let's see.
Oh, wait. Can I be totally cheesy for a second?
Go ahead.
Can I say hi to my little sister, Tori, and to Biljana? And just say hi to them. I want to just say hi.
I'm sorry, but that would be impossible,
okay.
Eric.
Maybe
too cheesy.
Yeah, maybe next time.
All right. Yeah, we'll do it next time.
Okay.
Fair enough. Or you write it down. I'll plug it on Sunday's show.
That'd be great. Thank
you. Craig?
Hi there.
What's up, Craig?
24?
Hey. Yeah. I had a question about the movie. I saw it in high school with some guys one night, and the thing that really scared the hell out of me was the way it was actually lighted, that it was all dark and you couldn't really tell what was happening, and then suddenly and coming out of nowhere, and that's what really was kind of scary about it to me. Is this one gonna take that and keep that
absolutely out? The guy who directed it is a man named Marcus Nispel, who directed a lot of great videos. He did like the Fugees Ready or Not video and the No Doubt Spiderweb video, and visually he is amazing, and he made this film look just dark and beautiful, and you'll be really impressed by what he did with it.
Yeah, the first one wasn't dark because of the lighting. It was dark because they didn't have lighting.
Yeah, they just couldn't afford any lights. But, you know, actually, Quentin Tarantino referred to the original film as one of the first independent movies ever made.
It's probably, by the way, I mean, you always think of that, you know, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and then there's Blair Witch and stuff like that. But over the years, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre with original budget of probably $25,000, has probably made quite a bit more than its original investment.
No, it's true. And you know what's great about this movie is they didn't go for that sort of, you know, what's been very common like the last 10 years, the sort of teen horror flicks.
Right.
They made a really classy movie, you know, that something that would stand up against an Exorcist or a Poltergeist. And I'm really happy and proud of it that way because, you know, they didn't put us on the posters doing our lame, cheesy smiles or whatever.
Did you get killed? Can you give it away?
You know, it's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, everyone goes.
Yeah, you know. It's not a big surprise.
I wonder how much money the original one has made over, like, the last 28 years.
Bob Shea, who's the president of New Line, gave a speech at the premiere last night that went on for a long time. It was
long-winded.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
But one of the things he did say was that the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre has helped fund what New Line is today.
Yeah. Gotta be nice. And like I said, how could you not make your money back when you're starting with about $25,000? All right, let's talk to Jake on line 3, who's 24. Jake?
Yeah.
What's up, Jake?
Here's the deal. There's this girl that I've been seeing, and whenever we're together, I always try for anal. And at first, she was not into it at all. And lately,
she's like, son, stop it.
Oh. What?
Oh,
God.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Anyways, now she's down to at least try it, and every time we try it, she's so tight that we just can't do anything.
Okay, I got a secret for you. You have to use lubricant.
That's right.
I don't know if any.
Does it matter what kind it is, or I mean?
Whatever floats your boat, my friend.
Good dirty weight synthetic is nice, or multigrain.
Not everyone can do this thing.
Yes, I don't think she's into it, Jake.
Why?
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 Because it's painful, I would imagine.
Well, she ended up trying it. I didn't say she loved it, but... I
mean, well, you tried it and it didn't work.
Well, we tried it. It's like trying to stick your fist through...
All right, you idiot. Yeah. Jake, I hope for your sake it's a bogus call. Otherwise, you're just an asshole. And here's the thing. We haven't talked about this for a little while, but young guys in their early 20s, late teens, are forever trying to get chicks to do stuff that the chick doesn't really want to do. And then you wear them down, and after a couple of wine coolers one night, they actually do whatever it is they didn't want to do the whole time. And then they resent you for the rest of the relationship.
And, you know, and it's almost always a disappointment. Guys out there, the anal thing, there's no rhythm to it. There's no, you know, it's just rough and hard.
It's a mess.
It's not good.
It's a disaster.
It's really not worth it.
Yeah.
No. I mean, unless it's one of these porn star chicks who's just like, you know, a cavern.
Yeah, she's dilated and you and your buddy are in at the same time. I mean, that's a different situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's effing teamwork.
Yeah. I mean, if you get a bunch of guys and it looks like one of those things where you see those old pictures from the 50s where the guy has like 10 cigars in his mouth at the same time.
Yeah.
If it's that kind of thing.
It's weird because my buddy Danny, he's a big fan.
Dan the Ass Man?
Dan the Ass Man.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with him, but he's he said it's working for him somehow.
So. All right.
It's a strange breed of cat that's into that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a strange breed of cat.
It's a certain breed of cat. Yeah. You want to give a shout-out to the little sister one more time? Or
you want to give a shout-out to her? Name's Tori.
Tori, don't hang out with Danny.
Yeah.
That's my shout-out.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's get back the phones, and we'll speak to Shayla over here. Shayla?
Hi. Okay, the story is my boyfriend doesn't believe that he could have given me herpes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he went down on me, and then a day or two later, a cold sore appeared, and then a week or two later, I had herpes.
There you go.
Well, Shayla, you're 16.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have, with modern medicine the way it is, you probably have herpes for another 85 years, maybe 90 years. True. You think it'll burn itself out?
It does, but as usual, the real problem with it is you can transmit it to other people, and you don't really know if that ever goes away, the transmissibility.
Why doesn't your boyfriend believe you that he gave it to you?
I don't know.
Is he embarrassed? I mean, I'm sure he probably feels bad that he gave you herpes and it's uncomfortable, but you know, you just got to tell him that you know he didn't do it on purpose and he probably didn't hopefully mean to give it to you. And
well, does he have herpes?
She said he got cold sores.
She got cold. I thought she had the cold sore for sure.
No, he had the cold sore, and then later on, I probably gave it to him.
On the genitals?
Yeah.
Oh,
ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a vicious cycle. I mean, the only other possibility is that, you know, when he went down on you, you already had it. Had you messed around with other boys before him?
No.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right. How old is your boyfriend?
He's 18.
All right. You're 16. Big couple of years there.
That's illegal.
I don't know if I like this guy. Is he not a great guy?
I think he is.
He's a dynamite guy, just
your parents
doesn't admit
think?
To herpes, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do your parents love him?
No, sadly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's not to love with all the herpes and denial and everything?
Is he taking medication for his cold sores?
No, he isn't.
Well,
all right.
Should.
So,
not really, because they both have it now.
Yeah. Might as well. Hey, but look, don't get pregnant, would you, Shayla? Could you not do that for us?
Yeah, I'm on birth control, so.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Good for you.
Is this guy in your high school?
No.
He could be. He graduated, or they just kind of kicked him out?
He graduated.
Okay. All right. What's he doing now?
He's doing construction.
Oh.
So he's one of the intelligent elite.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's horrible. All right, baby doll. You got your hands full with the herpes and now with the construction.
Yeah.
Just get on some medication for it, and, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure, you know, if you ever have any other partners, that you let them know first and you're careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you don't want to spread it.
Yeah, okay. Because, I mean, just a hypothetical, but, you know, there's some location shoot. Maybe they're doing Texas Chainsaw Massacre 5. Yeah. People are inhabit a small town for a short period of time.
You know, actually,
they're drinking some of the local color.
Somebody thought we were shooting a porno one day on set. We were down in Austin shooting on this river. And somehow they convinced me to, you know, go running around naked, you know, being goofy. And
sure.
I was swimming around the water, and these people came by on a canoe, and they saw me naked in the cameras, and they're like, you know, what are you guys shooting, a porno? And it took us a little while to convince them otherwise. But
Do you have to shoot the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Texas?
If you really want to be authentic, yeah, you do. You know, there aren't a whole lot of places that look like that part of Texas, so it really lends itself to the film.
Did you go to where they shot the original, or the original
site? Some of the
site?
Locations, yeah, we were very close to some of the original locations.
Where is it in Texas?
It's in and around Austin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Austin's not a bad place to hang out for
Austin's
a few months.
Austin's a great town.
All right, let's talk.
It was fun hanging out with all the kids in the movie, too. I mean, Jesse Biel's rad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Yeah, not ugly, not at all.
No. I dig her. Steve, and I like the fact you call her Jessie.
Yeah, I get to call her Jessie.
Because you shot a movie with her.
I got to make out with her, too. It was,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
It was really a bummer because she's got a really great boyfriend. I like him a lot.
Yeah, but like when you, in today's acting, like when you got to make out, you got to make out,
right?
You got
to make out, yeah.
Do you do tongues?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Let me see your tongue for a second. Wow.
I want to see if there's any Jessie left on my tongue.
I don't want to touch it.
I want to smell it, Drew. Don't be gay. Okay. Yeah, she's hot.
That was metrosexual, not homosexual. Right?
Do you just... So, in the scene where it's like you guys got to make out, do you talk about it in advance, or you just say we're going for it?
You know, normally I would kind of talk about it, you know, just to be polite. You know, are you comfortable with this or whatnot?
Yeah.
And we were just, you know, she just went for it. She's a rock star. She really is. She's a rock star.
Yeah, making out with tongues and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rough gig.
Any finger blasting?
No, not that I recall.
Okay. Because sometimes it's not in the script, but, you know, it's called actors.
Just a motivator.
Well, they ad-lib.
Yeah.
Ad-lib.
All right. Fingers.
Let's talk to Steve, who's 23. Steve?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's happening, Steve?
Well, Adam, you rule.
Thanks.
Especially on The Man Show.
Thanks.
And Drew, you're a genius, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre looks really cool.
Wow, you're just a bucket load of compliments. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, I have two questions.
All right.
First one's for Dr. Drew. I have painful ejaculation.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I have sex or masturbate, right as I get there, it just starts to sting and burn. And
oh, not like a hernia.
We're at the tip?
Yeah, down the urethra.
Down the urethra. Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not on any medication.
How long does it take you before you ejaculate?
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you. You're like cutting out.
How long does it take?
I don't know, about maybe 10, 15, give or take.
Seconds?
Way to stay in the game.
All right.
Are you using any kind of soaps or lubricant or anything?
No. No, it's just been going on for a couple weeks, maybe.
Are you a Mormon?
No. No, not everyone in Utah is Mormon.
Do you eat shellfish?
All right, well, maybe he has a little urethritis or something.
I don't know.
Could it be,
I don't know what that is. No, I'm not sure what it is.
It's more
to be a prostate irritation, I think.
Okay, so if he had a STD, there would be pain with urination.
Right, and discharge.
But if there's just pain with ejaculation, then it's the prostate.
Well, at the point of ejaculation. So that's more like a prostate thing.
Steve, you have a girlfriend?
Wife.
A wife?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Married.
All right. Well, what? Maybe he's got a little prostate problem. Maybe you need to go to the doctor and get some antibiotics or something.
Enjoy yourself, my friend. Nothing like
it may go away in a week or two.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I went to a doctor about 6 months ago because I had painful urination, and they said it was an infection, but they didn't give me anything for it. They just said, "Oh, it'll work itself out."
Well, that you mean a prostate infection? They told you.
Oh no. Well, I had a catheter, and had to have a
urinary tract infection.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Why do you have a catheter?
No, I had a catheter because I went into the hospital.
Why?
long and embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's what we like here.
Actually, we like short and embarrassing.
Short
and actually, look, we like medium length and humiliating, actually, is what we're looking
for. But
there's
no way I can figure out what's going on here unless I know what's going on. And
well,
a catheter changes changes everything.
I've always said that.
What happened was a couple months ago, I was on some pain medicine for a bad tooth, some Percocet, and I was doped down on Percocet from the tooth. And I don't really remember, but I woke up and I took a Percocet, and then I went back to sleep for a couple hours, and I thought it was later, and I ended up taking like 8 Percocets in only a couple hours.
Wow. So what, did you OD?
Yeah, it wasn't on purpose. I mean, I was doped up. I didn't know. I mean...
All right. So what sent you to the hospital?
That.
Well, what happened?
Well, because
vomiting?
My wife came in and she found me, like, all gurgling and...
Wow. Lightweight.
8 Percocet usually doesn't do that. What else did you take?
I took some aspirin and ibuprofen. I really have no idea how much of that I took.
All right, but hold on a second. Drew.
Yeah.
You can tell by Steve's voice he's a tremendous lightweight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he has half a Flintstones vitamin and a cap of Robitussin, and he's banging off the walls, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Steve. Well,
I think the real problem is you maybe need to talk to your wife. She should have been watching you a little closer, taking better care.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a very strange story. And then again, what the catheter did to you in terms of inflaming your prostate, you might want to see a urologist. This is all related to complications from the catheterization and that overdose.
You think?
For sure.
Yeah. I had some pain with ejaculation a few months ago, but...
That's because she was biting you.
No, I was alone.
Oh.
I'd been... it turned out... I was using Velveeta with the jalapeno in it for lube.
It would sting any little cuts or abrasions.
I didn't know at the time, but yeah, I was out of Lubriderm. I was sort of improvising. And I've learned my lesson. That's my point. And it doesn't matter how old you are; you can always learn.
You know, if you plug like Kiehl's on the air, they'll send you like all the lotions and stuff, so you can always use it. Kiehl's is good for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm a dry whack man.
I understand that.
Yeah, the Corollas are very thrifty that way.
Sweaty palms.
Dad sat me down. Yeah, you naturally lubricate with your clammy hands, and we don't need you going through a 40-gallon tub of your stepmom's Nivea. So once you hit the dry run, son. Yeah. I'll use a little cornstarch to beat off every once in a while. A little diatomaceous earth. You know what I mean? I like it dry. You know what I'm saying,
There's
Drew?
That bark ground cover that's always
I'll use some of that. I'll use like a pine tar rag. It's like baseball. It's like I'm heading to the plate.
A silver polishing rag something?
Yeah.
Speaking of baseball, did you see
I'll
those
beat
games
off
tonight?
With Tarnex. Yes. Holy Christ. Let me tell you this. Not funny, no joke, no entertainment value, but for some reason, I happen to work with a whole bunch of guys that are all from the Boston area to call them diehard Sox fans would not do them justice. They live and die. They go into fits of depression and rage and jubilance, depending on how the team goes. They will be a mess when I see them tomorrow. I mean, I was driving in tonight seriously thinking that one of the 4 or 5 guys may put himself down tonight. Like, they will be that depressed. I mean, devastation depressed.
Do they have them, like, on a death watch or something? What is it called?
Suicide watch.
Suicide watch.
Yeah, going to need your belt and your shoelaces. Yeah, because, I mean... It is going to be like going to a funeral going into my office tomorrow. The whole, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, but funny guys, and this is going into Jimmy's show and all the writers and all the producers and everything, everyone is from Massachusetts somewhere, and mostly from in the Boston area. Like, there's nobody funny from Arizona. There's nobody funny from Idaho. There's nobody funny from Montana. Everybody is from that one region of this country, and they're all funny guys.
Or they're Canadian.
Yeah, or they're Canadian.
As odd as it may be.
These guys, and they're all the same thing. They're super smart, they're a-holes, and they're sports fanatics. Like, they're crazy.
These are just a woman's fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. Their wives love them all. Yeah. Just cursing and pacing in front of the TV set.
Well, I mean, there are, you know, like comics by, you know, nature a lot of times are like almost manic depressive. So
yeah. So they're going to be a mess. I'll bet you some of them won't come in tomorrow. Ian?
Yep.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Actually, I called you guys a while ago when you were first discussing your hobo power system of rating. And,
yeah, let's just fill everyone in on that. There's, including our guest, Eric,
please.
There's no definitive way to measure stink or funk. I mean, pardon me. Everything else, you got your watts for electricity, and you have your horsepower and your BTUs, and there's all sorts of, for everything there is, there's a different unit of measurement. Nothing for stink. Okay. You know, and people do that like, oh, this guy was funky. I mean, he farted up the elevator. Right. This guy, it was like he hadn't taken a shower in a month, man. But there's no definitive, you know what I mean? It's like if you're talking about a car. Yeah, like you want to say this
you
car.
You need some kind of frame of reference.
You can't just go, oh, this car's peppy. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, so we came up with hobo power.
Okay.
And here's basically how hobo power works. First off, to reach 50 hobo power, you have to vomit. You have to make somebody vomit. And that could be through gas. It could be just through, you know, like Drew.
Yeah.
When you used to work over at the county hospital, once in a while you get a bag lady up there for a gynecological exam, right?
Easy 50.
Getting close to 50. That's like autopsy, pulled the body from the swamp kind of hobo power.
Even the thought of that just...
And 100 is as high as it goes, but that's a theoretical.
No one's ever got to that. It doesn't exist in nature. It's a theoretical possibility.
That bag lady plus crap.
Yeah,
no.
We couldn't get there.
Isn't 100 death?
100 is theoretical death.
Yeah.
It's the same as absolute zero. Just never been achieved.
Anyway, what I was calling to let you know is...
But it could be death. I mean, we're figuring that death would be in the mid-70s to high 70s.
Well, you know, George Clinton told me
would
once...
would be definite death.
Oh. Yeah, George Clinton.
George Clinton told me once, you can't be funky if you don't smell funky.
Uh-huh. And I'll tell you, those are words that man lives by.
He does.
Because...
He does.
He came into our very small... unwell ventilated studio one night about 4 years ago after receiving the NAACP Image Award. And by the way, I found it amazingly ironic and phenomenal that a guy who just received the Image Award smelled worse than any man I've ever smelled in my life. He's wearing three pairs of sunglasses. His hair looked like two drunken raccoons had died on his scalp. And he smells so goddamn bad, my eyes are watering. And he's telling me about his Image Award. It's a very prestigious award given to one African-American. And I'm like, I've got to kill myself if this guy keeps stinking up this room.
Another dog in me, baby.
God, does he stink. But yes, go ahead.
Anyway, I was calling to let you know that the rating system is starting to catch on at my store.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the worst I've encountered so far has been probably about a 47 or 48. One of my coworkers...
Ooh.
Actually
that's
did
gagging.
Run into the bathroom and dry heave due to it.
Gag. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, really? Now, what caused the 47 rating of hobo power?
Probably a mixture of, you know, sleeping in the worst beer you could come up with for,
but this
know,
is a bum that just came into your store?
Yeah, basically, we do cans and bottle returns inside the store, and so when they bring them in, we get a good whiff of stuff
all
the time.
You got up to the high 40s.
Actually, one of my coworkers did go and dry heave one time.
But wow. Adam, I have a question. Does hobo power actually apply when it's a hobo?
And that's
it's
interesting.
Like you don't really apply horsepower when there's actually eight horses carrying, you know, pulling you. That doesn't count.
That's ironic, Drew, but true. Interesting.
That was a haiku almost.
Yeah.
But there are different levels of hobo stink as opposed to only one standard unit of horsepower.
Sure.
They don't.
Well,
how much time do you spend talking and thinking about
this? No, but
this?
Many hours, on and off the air. I disagree.
Well,
with
you guys
what
get paid to, but I mean,
yeah. No, we. Oh, how many does Ian? Yeah. Well, Ian gets paid to think about hobo power too because he's at work talking about hobo power. But Ian says that there's not different units of horsepower. Briggs & Stratton has 3 horsepower, and a small block Chevy has 300 horsepower. That's just more horsepower. I don't understand what Ian was saying. Ian?
Yeah?
Clarify that.
Well, what? There's one standard unit of measure for horsepower.
Yes.
And you do have, you know, like you said, different engines have different horsepower. Well, different hobos have different levels of the stink. because they don't all smell the same. So you got to be able to judge them in your rating scale. Like you said, a Briggs & Stratton engine might have three.
No. Listen, Ian.
Who cares? There's a lesbian who's never screwed a guy on hold, and we're talking to this guy about
Home Improvement. Well, we got some more Home Improvement questions, some more Hobo Power questions to talk about.
Can we talk to the lesbians who never screwed a guy instead of the Hobo Power guy?
Let's see.
Time for a break, dude.
She's super hot. Her partner's inside of her right now with a strap on. Yeah, nah, that's boring. I want to talk about header size and hobo power.
All right, go ahead.
Eric Balfour is our guest tonight from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Ooh, hobo power massacre. Guy comes in, he's really got a bad funk, kills people with scent. Think about that, Drew.
Our next movie. Yeah, you know
what? Not going to work. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew in Florida tonight.
Yeah.
Beautiful, balmy, deadbeat dad, riddled serial killer infested Florida.
God bless that Florida. Down there.
Eric Balfour is our guest tonight, by the way, from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Not
by the way,
part
Adam,
four.
Yes. No. Going around down here in Florida, people are saying, hey, what do you got against Florida? What do you guys got in Florida? It's not me.
No, it's Drew. Drew hates Florida.
You told us off the air you just really didn't like it.
Yeah.
No, it was the guys that would drive us around, Adam, if you recall. That's where we got our notions from. Remember?
Yeah, no, I got my notions from reading the paper and finding out that every weird thing goes on in Florida. As a matter of fact, at the Jimmy Kimmel Show, we have this game called Florida or Germany. And it's like somebody brings in a headline, man taught his German shepherd to do the Heil Hitler. And everyone's like, Florida, Germany. All the weirdest, most effed up things in the world either take place in Germany or Florida. And that's a game. It's called Germany or Florida. And it's like a guy uses his 4-year-old for chum so he can catch hammerhead shark. Florida. That's how you know. Nothing. Yeah. You think any of this happens in Virginia?
Well, it's really the northern part of Florida.
Yeah.
Southern Florida.
Yeah. That's right. There's a big difference between north and south, huh?
You show me a place that has more waffle huts than mosquitoes. And,
oh, waffle houses, yeah.
Yeah, waffle houses.
Those places are scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hop back to the phones, and I'm just going to go for poor Dan, who's been on hold for 104 minutes over here. Dan?
Yeah, this is Dan.
You're 25?
Yes, sir.
You went limp when you were with your wife.
Real quick, Germany. Can I comment on your Florida or Germany game?
Yes.
Really quickly, a young woman has a heart attack causing starvation of oxygen to the brain. Mm-hmm. Her husband abandons her, gets a girlfriend, has one child and another one on the way.
Florida.
That's right.
Florida.
Yeah, that's a Florida move. Well, Germany's just more bizarre.
Germany's more like, you know, porn when they crap on each other and pee on each other and stuff.
Yeah, Germany. It's smarter stuff.
Wagner, Hasselhoff, crap on each other.
I wanted to ask Germany. You guys. Specifically, Drew and Adam, what do you think about that Chabo case? That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, we don't know about it. Is it a local Indiana case?
Oh, no, that's in Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The woman that was disconnected from her feeding tube yesterday.
Okay, let's go on a quick check about
that. Hasn't she been in a coma for like 10 years?
13.
Yes.
13 years.
I think, you know, God bless, but, you know, I think you have to let her go at a certain
point. I agree with that, although somebody had brought this up at my office, and I sort of agreed with him, which is disconnecting you from your feeding tube just means a slow, sort of drawn-out death, doesn't it, Drew?
Yes, I'm sure they if somebody is already comatose, they don't register death or thirst or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she seemed to be sitting upright and, like, blinking and stuff.
Yeah.
She didn't have her eyes closed, and she wasn't in bed. She was, like, sitting in a wheelchair.
She was, let's put it this way. If it were me, no tube feeding. If it were you, Adam, I'd pull the tube for your sake.
Yeah, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to remove the tube and insert a bullet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I'm sure she's on a respirator. I'm sure she's on a respirator, so they probably took her off that too.
No,
she's not. She breathes.
No.
She can breathe on her own.
She can do everything.
Yeah. Here's what it is.
Oh, that's very strange.
We'll pull the tube, and for the next 2 weeks, you can slowly dehydrate until your tongue swells up, and then you'll choke on that. Yeah, I don't understand why we can't give a little dignity with
well,
that.
What was the point spread on it?
I mean, the over under?
Yeah.
11 and a half days.
but I'm sure they were able to give her. I'm sure they were able to give her opiates and things like that for and sedate her and things. And that happens a lot.
Look, here's the deal. Who are we kidding? And let me just go on a quick jag here. Every once in a, Michigan spent like millions and millions of dollars trying to get Kevorkian behind bars. Look, people have the right to die in a dignified way. And you pussies out there, you sanctimonious religious pussies over there that are so scared of everything. He's playing God. He's playing God. What do you think hooking someone up to a breathing tube and a feeding tube and an IV is? Hallelujah. Someone should have been dead 13 years ago and you've artificially kept them alive? Isn't that playing God? Pulling the tube out is playing God, you retards? Jesus Christ.
Preach
what are you
on,
thinking
brother.
Of? God damn it, I'm so tired of these stupid religious tards always with this God-playing stuff. And then your next argument, when you're not pulling the playing God card, is the slippery slope card, which is just more pure retardism, where it's like, well, if we make it okay for guys like Kevorkian to put people in advanced cases of Lou Gehrig's disease out of their misery, what's going to stop your local doctor from killing your teenager when he's going in for a checkup for his high school football team, huh?
And by the way,
perfectly
Adam,
legal.
By the
perfectly
way, the slippery slope we're on is where everybody's got to be sustained forever, no matter how much misery they're put through.
Right. Yeah, let me explain the slippery slope. It's just the same. It's the same as if it makes sense, we'll do it. If it doesn't, we'll stop. It's just like the NRA. It's like they collect our AK-47s. Next thing you know, they got to take in our butter knives.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is for me?
Oh, yeah, it's slippery slope.
When you think about it, in this country, we spend more money on the last 3 months of life than we do on a person's entire health, life before
that's
that.
Right.
And no
yes.
other country in the world does this. We're the only one who, we try to keep them alive the last month, but we don't keep them healthy their entire life before that. We just let them go to McDonald's and stuff their face.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
The dying process has become, what should be comfortable and dignified in a few weeks has become a few years.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's big business.
And this is not fueled by atheists, by the way.
No. Eric, it's not big business. It's the law. Do you require that way?
The question is who's lobbying for those laws?
Yes, I agree with Eric. And all I'm saying is I think we can all figure out when someone is basically dead and we're keeping them alive with modern technology, as opposed to a 13-year-old who's getting a physical for his Little League tryout.
Are you making reference to your screener?
I just love that. I love that slippery slope argument.
I know.
They do it every time. It's like, what's to stop doctors from killing perfectly healthy patients then? Oh, God. I was like, what are we supposed to say? Oh, touche. What an argument. You're so right. I never thought about that. Doctors. Drew is a doctor.
If we ban strip joints in Los Angeles, no woman will ever get raped again.
That's right. 6-foot radius. Drew, as a doctor, I want you to admit right now that if they made this dignified assisted suicide legal, you would then start snuffing out your younger, healthier patients, yes?
No, all my peers would. I'd think about it, of course.
You think about it, of course. Yeah. You're tempted. The guy sedated to put the pillow on his head because he had his tonsils out,
I don't know
right?
so much about your hobo masker idea, but I think that could be the film idea for you.
Oh, yes, we've legalized the physician-assisted suicide. And now
he just goes on a rant and starts
killing
everyone's children.
Right, and the law can't touch him.
Like the kid, the mom brings the kid in, she's like, well, he's got a little bit of a cough.
Kill him! You just go into your waiting room and start mowing people over with a machine gun.
I know. I think my daughter's dyslexic.
Kill her! Kill her!
Why delay the inevitable?
Yeah, she's going to die another 80 years anyway.
My son would like to have
kill
his mole removed.
Off of his head! Lethal injection. I'm going to shoot some air into his bloodstream. True, this is what would happen, right?
Oh, of course.
I mean, it's a very
Drew
slippery
is a
slope.
Loose cannon.
You know why? Because you guys can't stop playing God, you doctors. That's
why are you looking at me? I'm not a doctor.
No, but you could play one in a movie, and then you would be playing a doctor who's playing God.
But I didn't play one in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Dan?
Comes out tomorrow night.
Yeah,
that's right,
I'm here.
Friday.
Look what you did, Dan.
Look what you did, Dan. You got me started,
no,
you son of a bitch. All right, good. Now, what is your question? Yeah, you came too fast?
No.
We were talking about Dan being a loser. I mean, limp.
Oh, he went limp.
No, this is mostly for Dr. Drew. No.
Sorry.
I've been married a year and 4 months. I'm 25. My wife is 23. Mm-hmm. This has happened twice, and it's only happened on days where I had masturbated earlier in the day, and then while having sex with my wife, I lost my erection.
Mm-hmm. All right, so don't do that.
Okay.
why is that so shocking to you that you're out of steam and
Okay. I thought I'd heard you'd say that if anything that would make you better or
well no we're talking about
clearly not in your case
that ejaculate yeah. too quickly.
Yeah,
you guys ejaculate too quickly. Yeah.
There are some really good books on Tantra you might want to read.
Yeah, you have to figure yourself out. But if you're a guy whose gun goes off too quick, you may want to remove a bullet from the chamber before you hit the range. You see what I'm saying? But this is not Dan's problem.
No.
So Dan needs to not do that.
Dan, do you get disinterested?
Dan?
I'm here. No. Whenever you guys talked one time about sort of some guys can save it up and it seems more sensitive and pleasurable if they don't have sex for a while, I'm more like that.
Yeah, right. I'm a little uncomfortable with you talking
that's
about
what we were talking about.
Yeah, well, that's what you need to do. That. That you. Save yourself. It's all right.
Save your servant.
Yeah. Let's see. Here we got to take a break, but we got a lesbian here, Michelle.
That's never, I've been trying to get to this lesbian for
never had
days
sex with a guy.
It's been like seven days I've been
let's
waiting
tease
for a lesbian.
It.
All right, lesbian, lesbian caller Michelle.
Yes.
You're 26.
26,
you've
right.
You've never had sex with a guy.
So you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
Through and through.
Okay. And you want to know, and what's your question?
My question was for Dr. Drew. I've heard that if you haven't had sex with a man, that you're more likely to end up with, like, uterine cancer or ovarian problems. And I wondered if that was true.
Wow.
You want to answer that after the break or answer it now?
Well, we'll take a break because we'll get into strap-ons and stuff like that. And again, it's a very slippery slope. Once you start having sex with guys, then next thing you know, you're putting fire hydrants up you, and then you're moving into heavy equipment, and next thing you know, you're putting
small
cities in your vagina.
And then you're killing small children, sticking them up inside you, and that's the real
problem.
You're
suffocating healthy children by putting them in your vagina. It's
I know it's going to happen. That's why lesbians are dangerous.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our lesbian Michelle after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Florida, everybody.
How y'all doing down there?
Yeah, it is good times. Texas, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is coming out tomorrow, is a remake of the original.
Yes.
And this is, for those of you who haven't seen the original, very gritty movie.
You know,
dark
what's the,
and gritty.
And the funnest part about this movie that I've been seeing is once you go see it once, you know, all the parts that jumped out at you and scared you, the best thing is taking your buddy or your girlfriend or whoever and going to see it again, because then you get to watch their torture and their torment. That's a really good time.
You know, movies, like to me, there's the whole startling thing, which is the scariest part of any scary movie. There are a lot of movies have left behind. Like, Halloween was one of those movies.
Yeah.
That guy would come jumping out from around every corner. That part where Jamie Lee Curtis was like sitting on the sofa and thought it was all over, and then he popped up from behind the sofa. At least the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre had a whole bunch of that pop-out stuff where you just crap yourself.
I would sit around with Michael Bay and Andrew Forman, Brad Fuller, the producers, while they would sit and go, the entire theater jumped out of their seats. I mean, that was their biggest thrill, was getting entire audiences to just lunge out of their chairs. So those are some really good ones in the movie.
I went on I was with a chick named Phyllis in high school. I liked her. She didn't like me, but for some reason we were at Halloween, the movie, and one of the scenes where what's his name? Jace Freddy. What the hell's
Michael
Halloween?
Myers.
Michael. When Michael jumped out,
nice
she ripped a fart. And you know what it's like when a 16-year-old chick just rips one in a packed theater, like me and the 11 people in our circle. Everyone is like, "Oh, Phyllis just blew in." It's like,
it's something about being 16. I was 16.
Ultimate
first.
Compliment for a scary movie, though, ripping gas
for
a woman.
You know,
yes.
I thought,
tampon flying out.
Yeah,
tampon flying.
Tampon flying out.
That's
would definitely
one of the highest compliments.
I'm gonna see if we can. You know what we've been doing is watching the audiences with night vision goggles.
Oh, really?
It's really
see
fun.
Those tampons. So, they glow when
they
come out.
If I see any tampons, I'll call you.
It's like Halley's Comet.
Yeah,
they got a tail.
You know, when I was 16, the first time my buddy took me to a strip joint, and
16?
it was this nice. Broke joint place. You know, with the chick. It was over on near Western and Sunset. It's not even there anymore.
All right.
And one of the strippers, like, she had like brackets missing from her braces.
Jumbo's Clown Room.
It wasn't Jumbo's. Okay. It was even before that.
But, I don't know it. I just hear
this girl was doing like the butt dance in our face thing. And just literally farted right in our faces. It was the worst thing. I couldn't believe it. And we tried to pretend like it didn't happen at first until she like turned around and put her hand over her mouth and was like, "Oops." It ruined it for me.
Yeah, I know. That's Fartlina. That's her thing.
Yeah.
That's what she does.
It's like Bridget the Midget.
The Asian dudes dig that big time. All right. Now, we were going to talk to...
We were talking to a lesbian who never screwed a guy.
Michelle, that's
which by
right.
definition would make... Well, I guess wouldn't make her a lesbian if she never screwed a guy. But.
Michelle?
Yes?
Yeah. Never been curious about the guys?
No, not really. Just dated a couple guys, but never went all the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have some horribly abusive father?
No. My dad's cool. We get along fine.
You're a lesbian.
Yeah. You guys wrench on cars all day and...
I did
about
take
the Cubs.
Auto shop in high school.
Shocking. Shocking.
I was the only girl in class.
Shocking.
So this thing about uterine and ovarian tumors, I've never heard of such a thing. Now,
yeah.
I wonder if you're confused.
Wouldn't the biggest risk, Drew, be from HPV or something like that?
No. Well, that's not being lesbian. She's saying, is it somehow by not having sex with the male, I can't imagine how that would be the case. How would you put yourself by not having sex at risk, except women that don't have pregnancies or don't have them at an early age or at higher risk for breast cancer.
The sliding slopers would be
so
saved.
Maybe that's the thing that got translated into ovarian or uterine cancer. I've never heard of anything else though.
All right. You have a girlfriend, Michelle?
Yeah, I do.
You guys have a strap on?
Yeah.
You do?
You do? Really?
I'm guessing you're wearing it.
No, we trade off.
Oh, really?
Sure. It's a very balanced relationship.
50-50 on the strap-on. Huh?
You know, I have a question.
70-30.
Yeah, you're on the 70 side, right?
Michelle, I got a question.
You're very good, Adam.
Yeah, well, because you're the dude.
Wait,
yeah,
I want to gain some knowledge here. Of what I've seen in film and in cinema of the strap-ons, how do they stay kind of like erect, basically? I mean, I understand they're fairly, you know, hard, but how do you get any real, you know, timing going with them? They just don't seem to stay up very well in place. I mean, do you have to kind of hold on to them, or what do you do?
You can hang on to it. They have some ones that just strap onto your leg, onto your thigh, so that's a pretty solid base.
Okay.
They got the belt and double thigh.
Oh, belt and double thigh, kind of like the Han Solo hip holster.
That's what it is. That's
nice.
Right.
Nice. What do you look like, Michelle?
About 5'6", 124.
Nice.
Beautiful blonde hair.
Yeah.
You're fat.
You ever forget and wear the strap-on into work? Like, let's say you guys have a little early morning lovemaking session, and you're in a rush, and you hustle out of the house. You got this big black dildo strapped to you, and you're just going about your way.
Why is the dildo black, just out of curiosity?
Because they're bigger.
Oh.
Well,
they don't have the technology to make the white ones big enough yet.
But she's a lesbian. She has no frame of reference to that.
So the injection mold.
My strap-on has never had to call into a radio show about going limp.
All right. What color is
damn
your strap
straight.
On?
Just put us all out of business, Michelle. Thank you.
Blue.
It's either pink, purple, or black. Which is it?
One's pink and one's purple.
All right.
I guess I haven't moved up to the black one yet.
Where do those colors come from, Adam? What is that?
Well, get to work, damn it.
Is that universal strap-on colors? What?
The pink and the purple, because they like the notion of a penis, but they don't want to make it too penis-like or it'll freak them out because lesbians... part of it is being freaked out by guns. Right. I mean, part of it is digging chicks, and then part of it is being freaked out by a penis. So if you actually took a flesh-colored phallus and you painted veins on it and stuff, and you strapped it to a chick, and she had a couple of
mind
pillows,
she could freak on you. But have you ever seen that on, like, HBO Real Sex when the little Spanish ladies are painting the veins on the dildos?
Oh, my God. Adam's been there.
This one is very nice. Did you see the?
I have been to a serious, like, dildo sweatshop in the San Fernando Valley.
Dude, there's all these little Spanish ladies just painting dildos all day, and they're like rubbing them.
It's comical because they're like Guatemalan women right. who are in their 60s, and they're just putting fake pubes on cyber skin snatches, you know, as they go down a conveyor belt. It's like it's a living. That's the bubble over all their heads. And, like, I always figured it was, like, Swedish chicks in nurses' outfits that were testing each one. I mean, it could be just knockoff Gucci purses coming down there. Could be anything. It could be anything. It's just everything. Here's the deal. Everything that's under,
really nice.
everything that's smaller than a toaster and has more than three components is made by some small third world women in their 60s. That's all you need to know. So before you strap it on or put it in your mouth, figure its journey.
Michelle, just make sure you thank, and, you know, next time you see a Guatemalan woman on the street, say thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Or you do what I do. Peel off a five and give it to her. Nice job. The pubes are staying. Cyber skin feels great.
That's true.
It's not chafing. It's adjustable. It's nice. All right. Well, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
I'm just proud of the show tonight. Just proud.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Eric brings out the best in me.
I thought the header was really the high point.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. By the way, that was not a sexual reference.
No, it was not.
We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Well, that's the week, and that's the show. I want to thank Eric Balfour for coming in here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You are a delight. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre coming out Friday.
Friday
tomorrow.
Night. Go see it. Go see it five times. It's a great movie. You're really
Adam,
incredible.
Adam, we haven't done...
Yes.
We haven't had enough time to talk, so we'll have a little less time on the way home.
Yeah, you call me on my phone, Drew. We'll get caught up.
Good time.
Yes, you will blast out a tampon, even if you're a guy. That's
even
what I've
heard.
Even
if you're a guy and you happen to have one up your, you know, butt,
it will come out.
It's coming out.
I want to thank Engineer Chris for doing a great job here. I want to thank Engineer Michelle for doing a great job filling in for Engineer Chris. I want to thank Engineer Anderson back at home base at Westwood One over there, the magic fingered one. I want to thank Junior producer Lauren for doing a fantabulous job all week, and senior producer and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Oh, wait a minute. Phone screen of Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. And Skinny Brian for doing a great job on the phones all week long. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Don't bother coming back from Florida. You just stay there with all your deadbeat dads and your devil's triangles.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.